Men, that message is so important because we live among a nation that has forgotten God.
Yes.
Among a people that seem to have spiritual amnesia. Mm-hmm. And how wonderful it is today that we have been blessed to behold our God. Mm-hmm. But it reminds me of a story that they tell about a little girl. The story goes like this, that the king of a certain country and all of his entourage were going to come through their little town. It was a really big deal because they had never had the king visit their town, and the little girl was so excited. And so she found a place where she knew the king would be coming by, and she could just get a great view of the whole scene, you know, the trumpeters and the soldiers, the pageantry of it all, the majesty of it all. And so, sure enough, the king comes through and she sees it all. And then he goes on to his next visit and they find the little girl. And the little girl is just beside herself. She's just crying and crying. And her parents, you know, are asking her, "Well, what's the matter? What's the matter? Didn't you see the king?" And she said, "Yes, I saw the king, but he didn't see me." And so, that's what's so wonderful, though, about the Lord. Y'all remember how old Zacchaeus?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was so short. He was too short, really. He climbed up in that tree to see the king. But what was more important was that the king saw him. I want you to know that it's wonderful to have knowledge about God and to be able to behold the Lord. But what's even more important for that is how that impacts me in my life. And how does this great God, this God that is omnipotent, this God that is omniscient, this God that you know, the scripture says, we've but beheld the thunderings of His power. What is His attitude, His heart toward me? What do you think about that today? This great God that has been described, how does He feel about Nathan Pittman? What is His attitude toward me? Well, we know that there's two camps you can be in that. If you're in the camp with the wicked, the scripture has spoken very loud and clear that God is angry with the wicked continually. They abide under the wrath of God. But if you're with the righteous, if you're with those who have experienced the grace of God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are a people that the scripture describes of God's good pleasure. The devil does not want the children of God to key into that. He worked this with our first parents. Hath God said,
right.
Does God really have your best in mind? Isn't God really just a cosmic party pooper? You know, isn't it really true, Brother Nathan, that it's the world that really has the best of everything and God's just given us the table scraps of life? My daddy always told me when I read or when I spoke, he said to speak clearly and distinctly.
All right.
Well, the Bible has spoken to us in that way about God's attitude towards His people and towards His children. And I want to share that with you today. The title of our message is God's Good Pleasure.
Amen.
A man once said, and I appreciate this quote so much, I hope that you can enter into the truth and the power of it. He said, "I live to pleasure as I live to thee." That's where it really is. You want to learn how to be a Christian hedonist as you live through this world. Let's look at this and let's trace this line through the Scriptures for just a little while. I believe this will thrill your heart to know that God feels this way toward you. This is His heart. This is His attitude towards those that He loves. Paul would describe it this way. We'll begin in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Now, here's God's heart. This great God that we have beheld, He's not like a father walking around the house with a paddle in his hand. No offense, Dad. It's one of the cool things about preaching, you get to pick on your parents a lot. He's not a belt popper. Any of your dads ever done that? Taking off their leather belt? Kapow! Right? Oh, that's manly. Are you really showing the family right there how tough you are? You know, God's not like that. He's not staring down at us from His lofty throne in disgust and disappointment. You know, why do you make all these mistakes? You know, or I can't wait for you to mess up so I can punish you. Because that's how my heart is toward you. But that's exactly the way that the devil wants us to think about our God. Yeah. But oh, wonderful Jesus came to reshape all of that that had been distorted about the Father. He said He's a God of good pleasure. He says that He would fill this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. That's God's attitude. That's His intention toward you and I today. It is God's good pleasure for us to reach our full potential in His grace and glory. I hope that that's your view of God today. His heart, His attitude, that He's a God of good pleasure. He wants me to reach my full potential in this life in His grace and in His glory. That's it. And I hope that that is describing your life. Because as our brother just said, whatever view that you have of God, it's going to outpour and inwork into all the natural courses of your life, what you think about God. Now, the Scriptures, as I said, are crystal clear. They are loud and clear. They have spoken clearly and distinctly to us. Let's go to the book of Ephesians as we follow this theme and this phrase, the good pleasure of God. First, we see that it was God's good pleasure to choose His people. Can I get an amen? I'm in the right house today. It was God's good pleasure to choose His own. And then, beloved, rejoice in this, to love them not because of the way that they were or the way that they weren't, but He loved them simply for that choice. Hallelujah. That it all might be great by grace, and that it all might be to His glory and honor. It was His good pleasure to choose you even before the world began, and to give you to Christ and to love you for that choice. He was so determined to do this that He would be willing to sacrifice God the Son on the cruel cross. This is the great family secret of God's children.
Yeah.
I've been many things. I've been unworthy. I've been unfaithful. But I've never been unloved. God's good pleasure. Let's read it. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. What was the purpose? That full potential. Here it is. that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's what He's doing in our lives right now to prepare us for eternity. That is the work of salvation and its purpose and the reason for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That is the work of vivification and mortification and sanctification that is going on in our lives. That's God's good pleasure toward us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. And now read it with me, according to the good pleasure of His will. Well, not only was it God's good pleasure to choose His people and to love them for that choice, it has also been His good pleasure to let His people know that He has glorious plans for them. For Jeremiah said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, that they are good and not evil, to bring you to an expected end." Hallelujah. That's God's will. That's God's good pleasure for you and for me and for His church and for His children. For we just skip down in verse 9 and we read that He has made known unto us what? The mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. You know, this is good news to me. Because I know this about God, that God always does what He plans. Can I get an amen? Now me, I make plans. But I don't always carry out my plans. But God hath done all His holy will. And He's got these good plans for you. And He has made known these plans for you. That's good news for you and I, because He says, "I have done all my pleasure. My counsel shall stand." Rejoice in that today. Do you really think that your plans are better?
No.
Do you really think that what you can get for yourself is better than what God can give you?
No.
Beloved, think it not. Say with that dear brother, "Lord, I live to pleasure as I live to Thee." And that's mind-blowing to me, that God would choose me. That God would choose me to... Some people, it blows their mind when we tell them, they say, "Well, that's so unfair that God would choose some and not others." That's not the mystery.
Right.
The mystery is that He would choose any of us.
Right. Right.
And that was His good pleasure to do so. And then to love me for that choice. And then to let me know about that.
Yeah.
What good would it be if you were in prison and the governor or the president pardoned you, but nobody ever let you come and know about that?
Yeah.
God's let us know the great plans that He has for us. Now, not hidden it from us. Clearly and distinctly. But what blows my mind even more is that the Scripture goes beyond that and has told me and you that it's His good pleasure to come and live within a sinner's heart. I don't know that I'll ever get over that. Just the glory of the majesty of it, the incomprehensibleness of it, that this God, that this brother just described to us, this high, lofty one that inhabits eternity, also dwelleth with Him, that is of a broken and contrite spirit. It's God's good pleasure to live within us and to work in our lives. Paul would tell us that in the Philippian letter, did he not? Are you still with me? I'm going to get us to lunch. I'm going to get us to lunch, guys. Stay with me. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not to try to give salvation, because you have salvation.
Right.
For it is God which what? Worketh in you both to will and to do of His what? Y'all are with me. Beloved, this is the side story of the whole Bible. The main story is Jesus and God.
Yeah.
But the side story of the whole Bible, whether it's Abel, Enoch, Noah, you come on down, all those great ones in the Hall of Faith, even down to the littlest one in here today, the side story is that God that our brother read about, He comes and dwells in the hearts of His children and He works in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's His good pleasure to do so. Let that enthrall you. This is what our whole lives are really all about. What I just described, maybe you can't see it, maybe you can't understand it now, but if you'll just believe this preacher and the Word of God, that's what your life is really all about. And what their lives were about. The side story of the whole Bible is God working in His people's lives. But there's a couple of things that, to me and for us today, and this will really hit home because of where we are and what we are enjoying. Go with me to Luke chapter 12, because Jesus is Jesus, and I believe He's a pretty good person to rely on about what God's good pleasure is. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Right. And so He is talking here. He's preaching. He's doing His Jesus things. And He tells His children that there are some things that are just a part of natural life that, yes, they have to be seen to. It's not that they're not important, but they're not the main thing. They're not the main thing. He says here, Luke chapter 12, verse 31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. This is Jesus. For it is your Father's pleasure." Give you what? Wow. Wow. Not only has He chosen me before the world began to be conformed to the image of His Son, and promised His Son to die in my stead in a substitutionary way, to take away my sin from me and give me His alien, give me an alien righteousness so that I might be with Him forever in glory. Also, He's described and He's told me all about that in His sacred Word. And then also, it has been His good pleasure to come into my life sometime between conception and death and reveal Himself to me and make Himself known and give me eternal life and live within me and work out His good pleasure in my life. Yet also, He's given me a kingdom. Yeah. Sorry, my handshake, but it's unbelievable. Yeah. His kingdom. That we may serve Him acceptably and with godly fear in a kingdom that shall not be removed. For our God is a consuming fire. It is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that is why we must first seek the kingdom of God. This must be our good pleasure and our highest joy. As the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart said, "One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to see the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yeah.
Go with me to Psalm 51 for our last scripture. And as we close, Psalm 51, because not only has He given us this kingdom and it was good pleasure to do so. But beloved, he set his eyes on the sparrow. Remember, the little girl said, he didn't see me. But Jesus said, his eyes on the sparrow. And you're of much more value than the sparrow. And his kingdom in this world, this kingdom that we are a part of, is forever. His kingdom is what? Forever. I believe in the perpetuity of the church. I believe that his truth is going to endure to all generations, because it's God's good pleasure to not only give us the kingdom, but to bless his kingdom and to bless us through it. I tell you, young children and young adults, and the older ones can testify to this, your greatest joys in this life will not be in your marriage. There's some great joys in marriage. I highly recommend it. There's nothing wrong with marriage, just with people. They always talk to us preachers about tying the rope, tying the knot, you know, Tom? Well, and they say, well, what happened to the knot you tied? I said, well, sorry, rope. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Of course, it's a lot better when you marry the Lord, but let me just tell you, your greatest joys won't be in your job. It won't be in your accomplishments. But Paul said, all that was gain to me, I counted as dung, that I might win Christ. Your greatest joys in this life will be in the kingdom of God. Yes. Yes. For all else, we know that death will take from our hand. One day, my sweetheart will let go of me in this world. But I'm glad that in the next we'll be reunited in a much greater way. There's something that we have that is beyond just the love, the natural love between a man and a woman. We both are lovers of Christ. See, it takes three people to make a good marriage.
Yeah.
Three. And the most important one is not you or your spouse. It's Jesus. So David says this as we close Psalm 51. Do good. Do good in thy good pleasure. Unto Zion build thou the walls of Jerusalem, because unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain.
Amen.
That build it. When our lives are fully invested in Zion, then God is pleased with our life. Yes. Let us renew our zeal for the kingdom of God, for God's good pleasure. I live to pleasure, Lord, not when I get a new sports car, not when I get a raise at work, not when my wife and children finally do everything that I want them to do, not when everybody in church, nobody's complaining and everybody's attending the way that they should, and my government lives up to the Constitution that it's supposed to be governed by. No! I live to pleasure as I live to thee!
Amen.
You'll never be disappointed, beloved.
Yeah.
Never be disappointed.
Amen.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. God is a God of good pleasures. It is His good pleasure for us to reach our full potential in His grace and in His glory. Behold your God. Behold how much pleasure that He takes in you and I because of who we are in Christ.
Amen.
Lord, bless you and keep you.
Is our prayer. Amen. Now, you got 20 minutes. That clock says it's only 11:20, 11:40.
Well, y'all owe me some time. Y'all owe me some time. I'll make use of it.